It's a great joy to have visitors in the church this morning, too. And this couple who was here this morning, they've come two or three times. Really sweet, sweet young couple. They're expecting their first child. And then this first-timer that sat over here, who said he was from Mississippi, too. Just really sharp couple and precious people. And had listened to us on the internet and decided to come and visit. And it's good to have Jill's son and his fiance this morning. Luke chapter 9. I won't be long, but I want to just talk to you that God desires to use us. God wants us to be enlisted in the work of the ministry and to use us in a great way. Now, I think that there's some people, and I'm not far removed from this thinking myself, that, you know, can God use me? What can I do? I don't play an instrument, you know, I don't have any type of special gift, and not much that I can do. And if you're like me, there were many times I would sit in the pew and I'd see people get up and sing. I'd see people get up and play instruments and minister. And it adds so much to the service, doesn't it? If they're playing the organ or the piano, if they're singing, playing the guitar, playing the trumpet, what it adds to our service to see. I love these kind of things, but I would sit there and, well, I can't do any of those things. But I want you to know God desires to use you. Now, you may be of the temperament that's just kind of quiet and reserved. You know, you're not out there loud and a people person. But I want you to know God wants to use you. And in Luke chapter 9, we have the commissioning and the sending forth of these disciples. They have been under the tutelage of the Lord Jesus Christ now for some time. Let's read the first six verses. The Bible says, "Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread nor money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you, when you go out of the city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere." Now, there are four truths about Christian life and Christian service that we get from this chapter. And there's so much in this chapter. There's multiple messages in this chapter. But there's four truths that I want you to see. First of all, I want you to understand the truth that Christ equips us to serve Him. When you got saved, He desires to use you. Because of that, He's left us here. If He saved us and we were finished, then He would take us. But we're here for a purpose. And He has equipped us to be used. You see, He never sends us out to do a task without first giving us what we need. In verse 1, He gave them power. He gave them authority over devils and the power and authority to cure diseases. In verse 2, He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and He gave them power to heal the sick. You see, we are prone to trust in what we have. And we look at what we have and say, well, what is this that I can do with God? This is not much what I've got here. And it's noble for us to say what I have is not much, but what I have I give to God. And if you can use what little I have, that will be fine. But understand this, God has an unmeasurable amount that He can give to us to be used. And we need to see that while we are prone to trust in what we have, we should learn to trust in Him alone to accomplish His will. If we are in His will, then He will have His supply to give to us to get His will done. Where God calls, God supplies. So understand this. There's a truth that God equips us. And if God is dealing in your heart about some specific area, and I want to mention this too, God is still calling people into full-time Christian service. God is still calling preachers and missionaries and Christian school teachers. And I just want to encourage our young people. And I want you to listen to me. You can go out and you can give your life to a company all your life. And you can make money and you can buy things. But I want you to know, at the end of your life, you've given and you've spent your life for that company. And I'm not shooting down people who are working. I'm not shooting that down. But I'm saying this. God may want to use you for the kingdom of heaven. God may want to use you. And let me tell you this. You can still have money and you still have riches and you can still travel and you can still do things. There's this concept that if I settle completely to God, if I sell out completely to God, then I'll be poor. I'll be in some God-forsaken place in Nairobi, and I won't ever eat McDonald's again, and life will be terrible. I want to tell you something. If you never eat McDonald's again, you'll be okay. You'll probably be better off. But we should understand, God equips us. We have nothing to offer Him. When we met Him, we had nothing to offer Him. We were lost in sin, and we were lost in our iniquity, and He saved us by His grace and by His might. But to use us, we need to surrender unto Him. And I think there's a lot of people who are gifted, and those gifts are from above. But we limit ourselves by our own abilities when God wants to do far, far more. God wants to take us farther than we can go, and it's through His power and through His might where He calls, He supplies. Secondly, notice the truth. Not only does God equip us, but God, He enables us. If you look down at verse 10, the Bible says, and the apostles, when they were turned to Him, all that they had done, or when they had told to Him all that they had done, and He took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city look down. Let's skip down to verse 13. He comes out of the boat and He sees these people, and there's a multitude that's around them. And He says in verse 13, give them to eat. Now, these disciples, they had five loaves. They had access to five loaves and two fishes. This is the feeding of 5,000, verse 14. For they were about 5,000 men, and He said to His disciples, make them sit down by 50s in a company. So they sat down, these 5,000 men, plus their wives, plus their children, and there's 12 men that are going to feed 5,000 men, plus their wives, plus their children. There's probably over 20,000 people here. Now, I want to tell you, we stood right there in the very place where the 5,000 were fed. It was amazing. We were out on the Sea of Galilee, and it was pointed out to us in the area from the sea where they had met. And then we went up and around on top of this high area. And from that area, it was as if it was a outside auditorium where they were seated and where they could hear Christ teach and where they could hear Him preach. And we stood there with the Sea of Galilee to the background now. And I could visualize some 20,000 people, 5,000 men and their wives and their children sitting out there. And there's 12 men to feed these people. There's two fishes and five loaves to feed these people. How can 12 men feed 5,000? Only through the enablement of the Lord. And He equips us, but He enables us. Christ took that small amount and looked towards heaven and blessed it, asked God to bless, and began to break it. And as you know the story, all ate, not just bread, but meat. All was filled, and there was 12 baskets left over. I believe those baskets, one was for each disciple to encourage his faith that with man, these things are impossible. With God, all things are possible. You see, Christ did the miracle. The disciples were the ones who distributed the blessing. And God still will enable us. He wants to work through us. And we can be the blessing, but it is God who does the miracle. Christ is looking for clean hands. God is looking for a clean body that He can fill and use to do His work. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, the Bible says, Paul says to Timothy, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that He counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry." So there's the truth that Christ enables us. Christ equips us. Thirdly, let me say that He encourages us. If you confess Christ as the Son of God and the Savior, and then take up your cross, and He speaks of this in verse 23, "And He said to them, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man's advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in the Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God." What an encouragement. When we experience the glory of God and the demands, and when we meet the demands of His discipleship, there is cross-bearing in discipleship. I was talking to a lady yesterday. This is an older lady, up in age. And she told me, she said, "You know, I can't do much anymore. I used to play the piano in the church. But I'm old," she said, "I'm afraid to get out in this weather." She said, "But I pray." And she said, "I pray for you every day. I think of Mrs. Mathis. I think of Brother and Mrs. Kaufman. I think of Brother and Mrs. Gray, Cecil Gray. I spent a lot of time with Brother Gray before he went to be with the Lord. And after Mrs. Gray went to be with the Lord, I spent a lot of time with him. And he told me some things. One of the things that he told me, he said, "You know, Pastor, every morning between 4 and 4:30, I get up and I pray for you. And I pray for the church." He said, "I pray that the devil will be bound and not get into our church. There's such a sweet spirit there." I want to tell you, when Brother Gray was called home to heaven, there was a great deficit in my life, and I felt a lack of power through that prayer, lost prayer. This lady I was talking to, she says, "I pray." She says, "I have a list of names that I call." She said, "But I can't do much, but I can sit there and I can pray, and I pray, and I spent time." And she said this, she said, "And I asked God that I might know Him." And she said, "You know, Pastor, to know God, there's a cost and there's a price to pay." And I knew exactly what she's talking about. You see, He encourages us. When you experience the glory of God, the demands of discipleship become a blessing that carry you along in joyful obedience. That cross doesn't become a drudgery. It becomes a joy. You don't ask God to give you a smaller cross or a lighter cross. You ask God to give you a bigger shoulder that you might bear it. He encourages us. He enables us. He equips us. Then lastly, I believe He endures us. I think the Lord has to endure us. Look what he says in verse 1 of our text. And Jesus answering and said, not in Luke, but he says, and Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. Now, this is where they could not, this is verse 41, this is where this man brought his son to the disciples, and they could not cast out the devil. And he looks at them and says, O faithless and perverse generation, how long should I be with you and suffer you? In other words, how long do I have to bear with you in these areas? And I want to tell you, I think the Lord looks at us sometimes and he says, how long do I just have to put up with you? Look through these texts. He has to bear our unbelief and failure in verse 40. The Bible says, and I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. He has to bear our spiritual blindness in verse 45. And they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them, that they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of the saying. He had to bear their pride in verse 46. Then there arose reasoning among them, which of them should be greatest. He has to bear their lack of love in verse 49 and verse 50. And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbid him, because he followed not with us. And Jesus said unto him, forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. He had to deal and bear the lack of dedication in verse 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto them, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. We hear no more about this man after hearing that. Verse 59, and he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first. You know, you put those two words, me first, in the service of God, and it just doesn't fit, does it? Suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. He said, but that was kind of harsh of Jesus. Why didn't you let him go bury his father? Because his father wasn't dead. He wouldn't wait until he lived his life and was dead. Verse 61, and another also said, Lord, I will follow thee. These are volunteers. I will follow thee, but let me first, there it is again, go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said to them, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Excuses and reasons for not following, a lack of dedication. Is Jesus blessing you, or does he have to bear with you? Stand with me, would you? I want you to get this and I'll be done. You may not have a special gift. You may not be the smartest. You may not have certain things. But if you're a born-again, blood-washed child of God, God wants to use you. And God will equip you. God will enable you. God will encourage you along the way. And at times, the Lord will endure you. Don't let it stop you from accomplishing what God wants you to do and accomplishing His will. Father, help us. I think of many things tonight, but help us to be people who can be used of you and walking and trusting in you. Meet our needs tonight. I pray for that young person, that teenager, that child, that adult who, for some reason, their past or their lack of this or lack of that, feels inhibited in being fully used in your service. But truly, you took these men and you worked miracles. And you work miracles today. May we be servants and have a willingness. And may we be used in a great way. Lord, would you enable us? Lord, would you equip us? Would you encourage us? And then, Lord, in these times of our failures and spiritual blindness and our pride and our lack of love and our lack of dedication, please endure us. While heads about and eyes closed, I wonder tonight if you're here and you say, Pastor, I desire for God to use me. I desire for Him to use me in a great way. Would you raise your hand? Listen to me. He desires to use you, and He can. You trust, and you walk in obedience, and you bear the cross of discipleship that He might. You come right now.